This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So happy to be with you today on this beautiful day that the Lord has made for us. I hope that we enter into it with rejoicing and gladness of heart, because God has abundant blessings in store for us throughout this day. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to make our vision very keen, and here I'm talking about our spiritual vision, that we might see the great wonders that He desires for us to experience throughout the course of the 24 hours that He has entrusted to us in this day. Maybe He's already been at work in your life in these early hours of the day. If so, I would love to know about it, and I'm eager to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3982. That's the toll-free number for you to use if you are here in North America. All you have to do is punch in those numbers, 833-288-EWTN. Matthew Gabensky will answer the phone, and he'll take your question, put it up on the board, and I'll be able to address it. We're also available for you outside of North America, country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985, inviting you to use either of those numbers to join us today. Also letting you know that we are available for you at social media too. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page has a chat feature, and you use that chat feature to put your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement in there. And Jeff Burson, our social media manager, who also happens to be our producer, will retrieve it and put it up on the board, and we'll be able to address it. Now, if you are a first timer, either by way of submission or by way of calling, do let us know. We will ring our bell to welcome you for your debut right here on Women of Grace Live. Yeah, so I'm thinking, you know, what has God been up to already today in your day? I'll bet you some of you have had beautiful surprises that you didn't anticipate, and there they were for you, all packaged and wrapped by way of heaven for you to receive. Or maybe, you know, through the course of the morning and your time in morning prayer, there was a thought that came into your mind that you had never considered before, or the solution to a problem, or possibly the answer to a prayer request that you had made, which by way of the Holy Spirit began to illuminate your heart and your mind. We'd love to hear about it today, because God is always presenting His word to us. God is always presenting His word to us. He is always presenting His word to us. And we know His word has a name, because the word was made flesh and dwells among us, and that name is Jesus Christ. So our Lord is always about the business of displaying His manifest blessings for us in a variety of ways. Or maybe today you've received some difficult news in these few hours that have passed at this time, and maybe you just don't know how to sort through that. Give us a call. Let's talk about it. Maybe in the midst of the disappointment or the reversal, there is something God wants to say to you through it. A word of consolation, a word of encouragement. Perhaps He wants to draw your attention to a particular virtue that He's asking you to acquire. Or maybe it is that He wants to teach you a deeper lesson about His providence, even in the midst of all things. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. The phone lines are open for you. I'm eager to hear from you. I just have to know that God's been about something in your life today. And here's the beautiful thing. When we acknowledge that presence of God, you know, and we make note of it throughout the course of our day, then we begin to discover the reality and the truth that we're never abandoned, we're never orphaned, that God is always with us, that He never leaves us alone to our own devices, but He's always there at the ready to be of assistance to us, that His grace and every spiritual blessing in the heavens is always being poured down upon us. And this is why I think these moments of recollection are so important. These little stoppings through the course of the day to Just make note of what's happened through the day up to that moment in time, and asking God, you know, to calibrate our vision, to make it clearer, more perceptible what it is that He's doing in our lives. This gives us a greater faith. It gives us greater trust. It gives us greater confidence. And I know that our Blessed Mother did this. And how do we know it? We know it because St. Luke is very clear in telling us that this is what she did. He says she pondered all these things in her heart. And I find it interesting that the times that he shares this with us are times when, you know, things weren't real clear to our Blessed Lady. We get this kind of notion that, you know, Mary, at the moment of the Annunciation, was greeted by Gabriel, who, you know, kind of brought a computer with him and said, "Hey, Mary, look, I happen to have a little look for you here on the computer. We've got it all down. This is what's going to happen." And he lays everything out. There was not that kind of clarity in Mary's life. The only thing that she was clear about was the fact that an angel had appeared to her, that she had given fiat to the request of the angel to be the mother of the Messiah. She was clear about the fact that the prophets had spoken and said much about the one who would come to save his people. But she didn't know everything. She didn't have the playbook for how all of this would take place. She knew the beginning and she knew the end. That's what she knew. But for Our Lady, the reversals and the situations that occurred, the various moments when the unexpected happened, that was a new moment for her. She always trusted, however, that God was with her in that moment, that He was there for her, that He was there with her. And so knowing that, she opened, once again, receptively opened her mind and her heart and her soul to receive that guidance, to receive that wisdom, to receive that illumination of heart that was necessary for that moment. I don't think that it all became clear to Mary until it became clear to Mary. And oftentimes it became clear to Mary as the event transpired in the future, that cast a light on what had been prophesied in the past. Then sense began to be made. And all of that did what? All of that was an encouragement to our mother. All of that increased her faith. All of that increased her trust. She never doubted. Our Blessed Lady didn't doubt. That's what separates her from Zechariah, who also received herald tidings from Archangel Gabriel. He doubted that what the angel was saying could possibly happen. Mary never doubted. She was just looking for an understanding of how what the angel was saying would come about, already accepting that what the angel was saying was true. Mary never doubted. But with each kind of querying with regard to what was taking place, and that deep pondering that marked her quest for understanding, our Blessed Mother grew. Her faith in God increased. Her trust in God increased. And she gives us good guidance by way of her example. This is what our Lord would have us do. And so, these moments of recollection throughout the course of the day, help for us to see, yes, God is with me. And though I might not understand the whole of it now, He will surely make it clear when it is time for me to know. 833-288-EWTN, waiting to hear from you. Light up my life by lighting up these lines.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you. We're inviting you to give us a call here. 833-288-EWTN is the number to use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. Also available to you outside of North America, and you can join us by using this number. Country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 2985. And we've got social media as another option for you. Get out there to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will get it up on the board. Matthew Gabinski is on the phones today. He wants to talk with you, and so do I. If you are a first-time submitter or a first-time caller, let us know and we'll ring our bell for you. We have Diana with us. She is out there in Staten Island, New York, and she is listening to us via EWTN.com. Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm good, Janet. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thanks for asking.
Great. So I had to call because it's such amazing how God works in our lives, and I had to share this good news. I work part-time as a cashier. It was my second job, and I've been there almost 6 years. So I took a page out of Mother Teresa's book a while ago, and I would go and I would hand out miraculous medals to my customers. And going back about 4 years ago, might have even been longer, I'm not even sure, I don't remember, but anyway, this girl was like, got so emotional. She's like, I've been out of work looking for a job. I haven't been able to find anything. I've been praying for a sign. You just gave me so hope that maybe this is my sign. She gave me this big hug and everything. It just made my weekend.
How beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. So yesterday, like I said, this is going back a while. I see so many people, so I didn't even really remember. She's like, you know, I just want you to know I still have that medal that you gave to me. I got a job shortly after and have been promoted about two or three times since. I was so thrilled, John. I was like, oh, praise God. Praise God. God gets all the glory. I couldn't believe it. And I haven't done that for a while, passing out the medals, but I'm going to start doing it again.
Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing. You know, and it's interesting to me, Linda, that you're calling in today and you're talking about the miraculous medal, because yesterday was Wacky Wednesday and Sue Brinkman was with us. And she shared with us. Were you listening? And she shared about the woman who gave testimony that it was the miraculous medal that that really gave her the impetus to get out of all of the things that she was involved in that were deleterious to her life in Christ Jesus. So, you know, it seems to me 2 days in a row getting a call about the miraculous medal, you know, we're always looking for these, what is God saying to us today kind of a thing. And I think that he is reminding us about the power of the miraculous medal. It's not the medal itself. It's the blessing on the medal. When it's a sacramental, we wear that medal, and God wants to give us blessings by way of that medal. It's called miraculous for a reason. Wonderful things happen through it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, I really need to start doing that again, you know?
It's a beautiful thing. And I know that, is it St. Paul's Street Ministry. It's a ministry of evangelization. That's part of what they do, is that they give out miraculous medals. And someone very dear to me actually carries miraculous medals in his pocket and gives them out to waiters and waitresses. And anytime he feels the Holy Spirit prompt him, he gives them a medal. And, you know, we've seen faces light up as a result of that.
Wow. Yeah, I was so thrilled for her, because I know what it's like to be out of work. And I was thanking the Blessed Mother. I was thanking God. I was like, thank you. And it was just amazing to me. I just wanted to shout it from the rooftops. I was so happy.
Well, I don't blame you for that, and I'm so glad. And I love when, you know, our God is an encourager, you know, and this is why these moments of recollection, you know, for example, you receive this wonderful news, you look back to that moment, and that increases your faith and trust in God. And then you say, I think I should start doing this again. All of these things lead, you know, to a deeper investment in our own faith, but a deeper investment in the faith in the lives of others. And I think it's beautiful. And I think your sharing it with us today might be an inspiration to some of the people that are listening today. We can get miraculous medals. Yeah, very inexpensively, and we can have them blessed, and we can become these purveyors of good news by means of distributing them. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, it's so true. Like, we're all connected as the mystical body of Christ.
That's right.
And we seem to sometimes forget that. Our smallest actions have achieved the action.
That's
you know,
right.
One word, one thought, one action didn't have a chain of effect. So it was just, it was amazing for me. It's never, ever happened to me before. So I was just over the moon.
Well, I'm so happy. And I think about it this, you know, it's interesting. We perform an act of charity, as you did for this woman. Then what's the next thing that happens? This woman receives a job. What is this woman going to do? She's going to proclaim that she got this job and she did to you by way of this miraculous medal. And who knows, you've affected a life. Who knows how her life is going to affect a life? And then who knows how that person's life will affect a life? And this is the great catena. This is the great chain. This is the great movement of the Holy Spirit through the actions of God's people who form his mystical body. And I love it. I think it's so exciting. And when we get to heaven, I think that the Lord's going to reveal all of this to us. I don't know how he's going to do it. Maybe it's going to be pictorial. Maybe he's going to show us, you know, look at all of these dots and look at you were that you started this connection of all these dots. I don't know how he's going to do it, but we're going to have some kind of, maybe it's just going to come by way of, you know, if imbued knowledge, we'll just have the knowledge of it so that we can rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. You know, we can rejoice in the goodness of the Lord that he uses the simplest of gestures that we make and turns it into great blessings in the lives of others. Well, Linda, thank you so very much for sharing your story with us. And it's a beautiful thing. And I hope it edifies all of you and perhaps maybe plants a seed in your mind as to how it is that God wants to use you for the upbuilding of his kingdom. Maybe by way of the same means that Linda used, by means of the miraculous medal. Give us a call. How has he used you? How have you seen this happen? And what have been the effects of it on you and perhaps in the life of another? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We also have a YouTube message from Dave, who is out there. You can reach us via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Please use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, and Jeff Burson will collect it and put it up on the board. Matthew Gabensky will answer your phone when you call us at 833-288-EWTN. Dave out there in YouTube land says, today is always a mixed, conflicting day. It is the ascension of our Lord, but the celebration is deferred until Sunday. You know, Dave, it is a conflicting day. It is called Ascension Thursday. Now we call it Ascension Sunday. What is the whole deal with this? I can remember as a young girl going to Catholic school and then going to high school in a Catholic school, we always had holy days of obligation off. Right? We didn't go to school on a holy day of obligation. Why? Because it was meant to be a holy day. It was meant to be celebrated like a Sunday in our life. It was meant to be a day reserved to contemplate the goodness of our God and to contemplate the mysteries of our faith that particular holy day was representative of, right? So I don't know that we've done any favors by removing Ascension Thursday and making it Ascension Sunday. I think that the impetus for this was simply to relieve the lay faithful of a burden because they might have to work and it might be difficult to get to Mass. But I'm not really sure that that's helped to increase the faith life of our people. You know, it's an interesting thing. I don't know how you all feel about this, but you can call in and tell me because I'd be very interested to know. But I can look back in my life and the things that I had to work for always yielded the greatest fruit. In other words, I can look back to those moments when at a given point in time, I might have considered it a burden, like studying for an exam. But when the studying was put in and the exam was taken and the grade was achieved, then I felt really good about that. And I felt good about the sacrifice of studying that I had invested. And, you know, that's a very, you know, I think secular kind of an example, very mundane perhaps. But I think it does speak something to us about the human person. I reaped great benefit, not just by way of the studying, but also by way of the sacrifice that was made to do the studying. The accomplishment of the grade was a lovely thing, but the offering of my time for the endeavor is what really spoke to me of value. When we had these holy days where we did sacrifice to go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, which should never be a sacrifice in the sense of costing us something, but rather when it wasn't convenient and so it cost us inconvenience, I think that we rose to a deeper level of faith and trust in God. I think that it enhanced our faith. I don't think that we necessarily do much good by making things so easy, because that communicates less importance. The important things we sacrifice for. The important things cause a surrender of self. The important things require an investment. And when we're not making that investment, we tend to regard something of having lesser value. And I think in a certain way that this is what's happened. You know, I think that this is what's happened. We don't hold it in high regard anymore because it's been made easy. You know, I think about the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about his passion and death. That wasn't easy. God could have saved us by some other way. But golly gee, when we look at that crucifix and we see our Lord hanging there, just this past Saturday, a beautiful woman who gave a presentation at an event that I was at said she looks at that crucifix. It's the Lord's last love letter to her. It's his final statement of love, right? Isn't that a tremendous thing? And with what high regard then do we value our salvation? We see the sacrifice that it cost and we value it, right? So things that are worth something always require sacrifice. Making it easy doesn't necessarily make it better. In some way, I think diminishes the sacrifice in our own eyes. Anyway, just my thought on the matter. Maybe you have another one. Maybe you don't like what I'm saying. Not everybody always does. We've got Barbara with us. She's going to be with us in just a moment, but I want to go to Pam out there on YouTube first. She says, please add me to your prayers. Anger about the past have resurfaced. Well, Pam, let's just talk about anger for a moment here. Anger in and of itself is not evil. It's not bad. When we experience an injustice, when something is done that ought not to have been done, when a void is created in our life because of something that's occurred, the emotion that rises to the forefront is anger. All of the emotions have with them a kind of psychic energy. I'm not talking about psychics here in the sense of mediums and things like that. I'm talking about psychic here in the Greek meaning of the word, which means soul. We know that when we get angry, our blood pressure can increase, our heart begins to palpitate. We can actually feel a dynamic taking place within us. As a matter of fact, some people display anger by pacing. Others by screaming, some by flailing their arms in the air, right? What is that? It's that the intensity of that emotion, the energy that's caused by it being expressed. Anger can be very good because that energy, that power that fills us in that moment, when channeled properly, can be used for great good, right? So anger in and of itself is neutral in terms of good or bad. It's what we do with that anger that matters. This anger that's rising up in you say resurfaced. My guess is that this is something that occasionally does come forward in your psyche, in your soul. It's something that happened in the past. The fact that the anger wells up again, God permits that. Why? He wants to call your attention to the fact that there needs to be more healing for whatever it was that caused this anger to erupt in you initially, for the injustice that was done, for the betrayal that took place, for the misunderstanding, whatever the case is. The fact of the matter is, if the anger rushes forward and it has that intensity that it's troubling you, as is suggested by your comment, then one of the goods that can come from this is for you to take it to prayer and say to the Lord, obviously, this wound needs more attention. Father God, once again, I surrender this wound in my heart to you, and I ask you to come and to fill it. Now, I also can intuit from what you're saying that there's been healing for this anger, for this injury, not for the anger, but for the injury that provokes the anger. There's been healing that's occurred in the past because you're not walking around in a constant state of agitation. You're saying that it's resurfaced. So that means that there's been healing, but it's not completely healed, or else the interior response would not be one of anger. So it's indicative of the fact that the Lord is saying to you, more attention does, Pam, need to be paid, but guess what? I have the healing for you. He's made you ready for the next stage or the next step in this healing process for whatever provoked the anger. And there are various ways in which we can cooperate with that grace. We can ask the Lord to give us His insight as to what was happening in that moment, knowing that He's with us in all things, even when we're being betrayed, rejected, abandoned, taken advantage of, even when we are being misused. God is there. And where God is, His grace is. So that grace has been with you all along, and He just wants you to enter more deeply into that grace that He was providing for you at that very moment that the injury was occurring. Our God is a great God. I will pray for you. I'll put you into my rosary today for sure. I will be praying for you. But ask the Lord, show me why this is coming up again. Where does more healing need to take place? How can I cooperate with your grace that you're providing for me right now to achieve the next level of healing? When we come back, we're going to go with Barbara. We've also got a YouTube explanation from Pam. All of this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful messaging coming your way and our way today right here on Women of Grace Live. Do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. We're looking forward to hearing from you.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Williams. Very happy to be with you today. We do love spending this time with you Monday through Friday, and I love talking with you. So why not give me a call right here at Women of Grace Live. Here's the toll-free number for you to use if you're in North America. It is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Don't be shy. Give it a try. Don't delay. Call right away. Matthew Gubinski and I want to hear from you today. Matthew is our call screener, and he'll be only too happy to receive your call and get it up on the board for me. Also available for you is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We'll receive it. Jeff will get it. I'll receive it. And then we'll talk about it. Yes, we will, right here on Women of Grace Live. So please do call us. Asked you, you know, what has God done in your day so far? Where have you seen the hand of God actively engaged with you in these last several hours that have formed your morning? I would love to know about that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Inviting you to give us a call. Also want to remind you about some things that are going on at Women of Grace. As you know, I've been telling you about this. I'm so excited. We are going to be having our summer book study starting on June the 5th. In that particular book is Beautiful Holiness, A Journey with Blessed Conchita to the Heart of Jesus. It is a lovely, lovely, wonderful book. Very important book, I think, for this moment in time. I'm very grateful to Kathleen Beckman for providing us with the first English biography of Blessed Conchita. We want for you to join us for this study. It's going to be beautiful. I know that you're going to grow in grace as a result of it. So don't deprive yourself of the opportunity to get to know this beautiful Blessed of the Church a little bit better. And if you don't know her at all, well, then certainly you're going to want to be introduced to her. Sue Brinkman will be leading that study. As I say, it does begin on June the 5th. We're already receiving beautiful registrations for this book study, and we have been receiving them. And we can provide you with a book. EWTN's religious catalog has it as well. So we invite you to join our book study beginning June 5th with Sue Brinkman leading a study on Beautiful Holiness. That's the title of the book, A Journey with Blessed Conchita Rosita to the Heart of Jesus, given to us by Kathleen Beckman, who will be showing up from time to time in our book studies. She will be joining us, and she'll have some salient words for us, I know, that will help to increase our devotion to our Lord by way of what it is that he revealed to this beautiful mystic and prophet of the church, Blessed Conchita. So we're inviting you to join us for that. I'm also inviting you to join me in Scranton, Pennsylvania, on June the 10th. It's a Saturday. We are going to be at the Marywood University Nazareth Hall for a beautiful one-day event for women. I am going to be presenting. Kathleen McCarthy is going to be presenting. We're going to be regaled with the music of Maria Salamita. And I know that it's going to be just a beautiful day in the Lord. It's been some time since I've been to Scranton. And I just want to share with all of my Scranton sisters out there that I am certainly looking forward to being with you. If you're not in the Scranton area, come to the Scranton area. Why not? Make a day trip. Join us there. It's going to be a lovely day to refresh your faith with the Holy Spirit at this one-day Catholic Women's Conference being held at Marywood University Nazareth Hall. So join us. All the information is available for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. You have the capacity right there to register. We certainly do want to join you. Also, wanting to begin to tell you about Malvern. We go to Malvern every year, largest retreat house and center in the United States of America, and it is seated on 130 acres of beautiful, beautiful property. We have been going there since 2006, only have missed 2 years in that period of time, and one of those years had to do with COVID. We want for you to join us. It begins with the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. The Science of Weakness, A Journey into the Life and Teachings of St. Therese of Lisieux is what that seminar will be all about. We'll be deeply digging into the spirituality of the little flower. Sue Brinkman is going to take on that entire Benedicta Enrichment Seminar. I might have a few words to say here and there, but mostly Sue is going to be presenting that. That precedes our retreat that begins on Friday evening, July 21, follows through until Sunday, ending at noon. It is a beautiful, beautiful retreat. It's Go Deeper, Healing the Wounds of the Heart. I'm going to be taking you very deeply into how the wounds of the heart are manifested, why they come, what are some of the situations that cause them, but also how that healing process works and what it is that God wants to do in us and through us. So we're going to be digging deeply into the healing wounds of the heart topic. So join us for that. Father Ken Geraci, a Father of Mercy, is going to be joining us. He is going to be preaching to us in his homilies about the healing power of prayer and the healing power of the Mass. We're going to be having a beautiful healing service, and we will be having a Mass of healing. It's just going to be absolutely phenomenal. So please do join us for this beautiful weekend that will be all about healing. You can come to the Benedicta by itself. You can come to the retreat by itself, or you can come to both. Find out more by going to our website. You can register right online there. Well, let's get back to our callers today. 833-288-EWTN. Phone lines are all lighting up. Woohoo! Woohoo! Makes me so very happy. Barbara is holding. She's been with us for a little bit here. Jacksonville, Florida is where she is, and she is listening to us via YouTube. Hey, Barbara, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. And how are you? I know you're doing great. You're on fire with the love of the Lord. I love it and love it.
Well, thank you, Barbara. May the fire only increase and never be extinguished.
I don't think it will be with you ever. No.
I hope not.
Never. First of all, I'm going to say three things really quickly. Happy belated Mother's Day, because you are a spiritual mother to me. And everything that you put together, everything that you do, and I love your show.
Thank you.
Second, I am the prayer warrior for the veterans and priests, and I've called in quite a few different times. And
yes,
you've been wonderful and helpful to me. I have been unable to get a job for since COVID, and go figure. I'm a baby boomer, so I found out yesterday. I went to a company, and I finally said, all right, I give up. Lord, I give it to you, and, if I don't get this job after going to, hundreds of interviews, and I just can't figure out why, so forth and on. And I walked in, and they were so excited. And I tell you, there are so many problems these people have a lot of different problems of accidents and just physical ailments. And I just feel that the Lord put me over to this company. It's very old farmers. It's very, very old. But to help them, they accident prone. I feel like I'm going to be over there. They want me to lead a commercial end for the company. And
wow.
I'm going to be praying for these people the poor man, the wife, his husband and wife, they keep getting in auto accidents. People hit them. He got in an accident 2 weeks ago, and they have TBI. I mean, just the whole thing, it's unbelievable. And the manager, she has issues of I guess her faith, but and I'm just going to be praying for miracles, as it says in the wisdom of the saints. The 365 days of inspiration today is on evangelization. Many, many people hereabouts are not becoming Christians for one reason only. There's probably nobody there to make them Christians. And I'm hopeful that I get this job, not just because of the income that I do desperately need, but so I can hopefully, through the Lord, make miracles.
Yeah. Barbara, this is so exciting. And, I've got a scripture passage that comes from Psalm 37:23 for you. And it's the steps, the Lord, it's Psalm 37, verse 23. And the Psalm says, right, the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man. And I believe that the Lord ordered your steps to go into that interview, and he's opening a door for you here. And why don't we just say a quick prayer for this? So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and I lift your daughter Barbara up to you. And, Father, we're very excited that you are ordering her steps and that you're leading her and guiding her and directing her. And sometimes, Lord, it seems as though you delay. We're praying and praying and praying, and it seems like the prayer isn't getting answered. But it's only because you're in the process of putting everything in place in the natural, that the door that you know is best to be open for us can be open for us. And I'm asking, Lord, that if it be your holy will and that this be the door, that this door swings wide for your daughter, whose love and whose compassion for her fellow man is so great, who desires only to be of service to them in their disability, in their weakness, in their turmoil, in their trouble. Father God, this woman whose heart is so gracious and so filled with your love only desires to be able to dispense it in exactly the way you desire her to, and to exactly those whom you have chosen for her to be this spiritual mother to. And so, Father, we're just asking now that you have ordered her steps, that this door is swinging open, that this job does become hers, and that you anoint her every word and her every action. You inhabit an anointed work, Lord. You can appreciate and use a good work, but you inhabit an anointed work, and we're asking for anointed work in this field for your daughter, Barbara. And we do offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Well, Barbara, you have to give us a follow-up call so that we can find out more, right?
Absolutely, I will. Absolutely. And I have one more question. It's really brief, and it's I have a friend, of course, praying for the veterans, and I prayed for this veteran. I met him briefly at church. He was in uniform. And anyway, he wanted to become a priest, and I prayed for a long time for him to become a priest and so forth and on. But he ended up in Ukraine, and he fell in love with this woman online. And now she's pregnant. Of course, I had a few words for him for that, for not being married. But anyway, he decided not to be a priest, obviously. Okay. And so I did speak my mind to a woman, and it was a little tart, but it's okay. I did. So he sent me the invitation for their wedding. And I know that you had a caller before about the subject on attending a wedding that, do you approve, do you not? I mean, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? I mean, I'm a great sinner. I mean, but the thing is, I basically said, you couldn't keep it in your pants. What the world were you thinking? Oh, boy. I, and
Well, Barbara, let me just ask you this question. So, I don't know what the circumstances are with regard to this young man outside of the fact that he impregnated this woman. We cannot obviously, approve of sexual immorality. There's no question about that. But through the grace of God, he wants to make the situation right. He wants to marry her, and he presumably loves her very much. I don't know if he's planning to marry her in the church or if he's planning to marry her outside of the church. As a spiritual mother to this young man, I would have a little sit down with him, and I would talk with him about, okay, going forward. All right, here's the situation now. You need to make a good confession and repent of the act of fornication. You need to do that. You need to get yourself into a state of grace, and then you need to go forward in that state of grace. And the way to go forward in that state of grace is to marry in the church. If he was one time entertaining, a religious vocation to the priesthood, then it seems to me that he should understand that this has got to be something that is ripened through the sacrament of matrimony. They'll need those graces going forward. So I would tell him, as a spiritual mother to you, as somebody who cares about you deeply, I want for you to go to confession, to repent of this sin, and to move forward in the grace that you receive, and to display that grace by way of getting married in the church so that you can have every spiritual blessing in the heavens that you need. And you would not then be persisting in sin. Because if it's a civil marriage only, he's persisting in sin, which isn't good for his soul. So I would tell him that. And I would tell him that you would support him in his decision to get married in the church. I don't mean pay for it, but be emotionally and spiritually supportive of him in making that decision. And that, otherwise, you will continue to pray for him, but you cannot attend the ceremony. So that, I know that's hard. It's not judging. It's really underscoring the reality of what he's anticipating doing. And sometimes, the only way people understand is for someone to make a stand about it, one that is coming from compassion and true love and true concern for his soul. Because ultimately, that's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters is his eternal salvation. So that's where you want to mother him. That's where you want to stand beside him in promoting him towards the ultimate goal, which is life on high in Christ Jesus. So do let us know about the position. Do let us know about this young man, Barbara. But we're going to move forward here. We're going to get to Allie, first-time caller in Columbus, Ohio, listening to us via St. Gabriel Radio. And I am ringing my bell for you. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. So what's going on?
Well, the Bible says that if our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. So I know what I'm supposed to do, but I have a coffee addiction, and I just keep drinking so much of it, and it's going to get to the point where it doesn't work anymore, and it's unhealthy, and it's keeping me up at night. But I just am having a hard time applying this verse. I'm having a hard time with self-control, and I always feel like I have to feel perfect at all times. And, I need to have days where I don't have coffee so that I don't build a tolerance to it. That's really important to me. But those days I feel so bad, and I'm always trying to do something to feel better, basically.
Mm-hmm. So, Allie, a couple of things here. The coffee addiction is one thing, so it's probably not so much the coffee as it is to the caffeine is what I'm thinking you're addicted to,
caffeine.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a way to begin to resolve that issue. You can begin to reduce the amount of coffee that you're drinking that is caffeinated. You can begin to reduce the, in other words, you can, mix a cup of coffee with some decaf, and begin to wean yourself off of the caffeine, you will probably have a withdrawal symptom. The most common, of course, is the headaches that will come. And sometimes you get a little jittery, you know, when you're taking that caffeine out of your body. A lot of people are addicted to caffeine. They don't do it. They don't get it by coffee. They get it by, you know, a cola products that have caffeine in them. They'll drink, you know, umpteen numbers of cans of soft drink a day. You know, so caffeine can be a very, very serious addiction, especially when it's causing the kinds of situations that you're talking about. You can't sleep at night, et cetera. So, but I think that you're touching on something here that I want you to think about and prayerfully consider and maybe take to the Blessed Sacrament and take into your time of prayer every day. And that is, you know, when you talk about the need to be perfect and you talk about never being satisfied with yourself, it may well be that your addiction to coffee is covering up or is perhaps an outgrowth of something that's deeper. And so, you know, the fact now that the Lord's drawn your attention to this overuse of caffeine may be indicative of the fact that he's inviting you to a deeper contemplation on something that needs to be healed in you, that this in some way is the symptom of. And so when we need to be perfect, it usually is rooted in a number of different things. It can be rooted in several things. The first and the primary is insecurity. People that need to be perfect in every way and become almost addicted to perfection generally feel insecure, that they don't measure up, that they're not good enough. And sometimes that springs from the nuclear family, the situation that took place in our own family life. Maybe the child is unaffirmed, not made to feel as though he or she is good enough. And so this child strives by being perfect and carefully calculating everything they do to win approval that should be theirs naturally because they're created in the image and likeness of God. And so if I were to maybe just give you a little direction on what it is that you can do, and I don't know if anything that I'm saying is resonating with you or not, but I would, as I say, go before the Blessed Sacrament, sit there with the Lord, and just tell him, you know that I am beginning to experience the deleterious effects of drinking too much caffeine in a day. But Lord, maybe this is rooted in something deeper. And I just ask that through the Holy Spirit, you would begin to show me these wounds of the heart that I might surrender them to you. In fact, Father, if they are there, I do surrender them to you. And Allie, if you know that there are certain wounds of your heart, if there were times when you felt betrayed or rejected or abandoned or that you didn't measure up or you weren't worthy, give that to the Lord. And I'll give you two scripture passages to take into that time of prayer with you, okay? And one of the scripture passages is Ephesians 1, verse 4. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight, to be full of love. And I want you to sit with those first five words, God chose us in him. And I want you to take that first person plural pronoun us, and I want you to take it out and make it singular. God chose me in him before the world began. I was chosen by God. God desired me to have life. And when he looked at me, he said, I am good. I am very good. And I would allow the Lord to work that into your heart. And then I would go to Jeremiah. And I think it's Jeremiah 1. I'm going to try to look this up because we're getting close on time here. I'm going to try to look this up really fast. But Jeremiah is told by the Lord that he, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. A prophet to the nations, I appointed you. And what is God saying there? God is saying that he knew Jeremiah as he knew you from all eternity, and He chose us to have life, and He has a mission for us and a purpose for us. And I would allow yourself to sit with that reality and to allow the Lord to work that truth about you, the beautiful woman that you are, into the very, very interior regions of your heart. Okay? So those are the two passages. It is Jeremiah 1:5, Ephesians 1:4. Friends, I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of you today, but we'll be back tomorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.